Hello, I'm Alma Schneider. I'm a licensed clinical social worker and the proud mother of four children, one of whom has Prader-Willi syndrome.
And I am Iris Miller. I'm a certified rehabilitation counselor and the proud mother of two children, one of whom has quadriplegic cerebral palsy and is nonverbal.
In this podcast, we discuss the uncensored truth about raising children with disabilities.
Prepare to laugh, cry, and hopefully learn something new.
This is Two Moms, No Fluff. Hello, and welcome to Two Moms, No Fluff. I am Alma Schneider, and I'm here with my partner, Iris Miller, and we're very excited to be with you today. Welcome back if you are a veteran listener, and welcome if this is your first time. We're very happy to have you. Iris, would you like to introduce what we'll be discussing today?
Yes, Alma, thank you for the lovely intro. I'm so happy to be here with you again. And today we're going to talk about a topic that I think you excel in more than I do, like many other things that you excel in more than I do. But we are going to talk about exercise. But today we're not talking about exercise when it comes to us, the parents. We are going to talk about exercising with our kids with disabilities. And as you all know, this is going to be an interesting conversation because some of our kids have some really serious motoric challenges that prevent them from exercising or exercising in the way we all do. And some of our kids have a lot of behavioral and cognitive issues that prevent them from exercising in maybe the typical way that we imagine kids exercising in. So we're going to tackle this topic, and Alma, I'm going to let you begin, and I hope that everybody can learn something new just from listening in today.
Yes, great. So there's a lot to talk about with exercise with our kids. And again, our kids are all in very different places. As you mentioned, a lot of motor challenges for some kids, muscle tone issues, behavioral issues where they are defiant and don't want to exercise. But that's why we have to get a little crafty and we have to get very creative and think out of the box. And it's reminding me of the Blue Zone documentary that I have seen where the people who live the longest all exercise, but they exercise in a very natural way. They exercise in a way that is just a part of living. So it can be walking, it can be gardening, it can be taking a little swim in a local pond. That's considered exercise. And we don't, we in the United States think, oh, exercise, we have to be pumping iron, we have to be lifting weights and lifting, twice our body weight to get some kind of an effect or run a marathon. Not true. We just need to be moving our bodies. And that can be done if we're using a wheelchair or if we can use our legs and our arms. So the first thing I want to talk about is, my forte is the social aspect of this. It's really important to have our kids feel like they're a part of a team, whether that's a physical team or any kind of a team. Our kids want to feel included. So if you search where you live, there are probably some kind of organizations that will allow your child to be part of a team, depending on whether or not they are physically able to do what's traditionally expected in something like soccer or jiu-jitsu or baseball. So for example, in our town of Montclair, New Jersey, there are numerous opportunities for kids with disabilities, any kind of disability, to participate. Even if they're using a wheelchair, they can still be on the field. It might be a little bit harder, or there might be a field that's level enough for a wheelchair. But we have a free program for children with disabilities with mentors from the baseball team in our school, in our district. So all kids can participate no matter what level they're at, developmentally, physically. Whether they're older, younger, they can participate. And they're part of a team. They're running if they're able to run. They're walking if they're able to walk. They're using the wheelchair if they're able to do that. And they're just a part of a team and they are moving. And that's one way to get exercise. It doesn't have to be the traditional, my son's got to be on the track team or something like that. It can be something very similar. I mean, very simple. There's also a soccer team that does the same thing in our town. And there's also Special Olympics that completely accommodates children with different disabilities, physical disabilities. So I'll start there.
You said so many things. I have a lot of thoughts and comments, and thank you for sharing all of that. I think that the most important point for me to reflect back on from what you were saying is the maybe point of pain, right? We were taught somehow in a Western society that in order to exercise, you need to feel the pain, right? That your muscles are working, that you're building muscles. And I really, really want to encourage parents to forget about that and to understand that exercise in moderation and something that for sure does not cause your child any pain or discomfort is the way to go. Because if you do create an environment that allows pain to be a part of like the fun, it would very much turn, or very fast would turn in from fun to just pain, and your child would not want to participate in it any longer. And I understand why. So basically, I wanted to say that we want to create an environment that makes being physically active, i.e. moving our body, is fun, interactive, and compelling. So it doesn't turn into a punishment that happens to the child once a day or a few times a week. It's something that they look forward to. And Alma gave us a whole variety and examples of activities in the community that our kids can participate in a group setting mostly. And those are nice and good programs if you have a program in mind and you don't have it in the area where you live. You can always start one for yourself. And if you need information, resources on how to do that, Alma and I would be happy to support you and share what we know when starting something from the ground up. But in addition to that, sometimes all that you need is just you and your child to do something beautiful, meaningful, and helpful to their physical well-being. So I'll give you back the kind of microphone to continue on, and later on I'll give more specific examples on ways to exercise with kids with, I guess, more complex motoric challenges, the kids that have less movement but still need to move.
Yes. So yeah, we're talking about a wide spectrum of, you know, different kinds of disabilities. Some kids just are defiant when it comes to exercise. The mere idea of it is not something that's appealing to them. Being social is not appealing to some kids because of their personality or their disability. It could just be they don't like exercising with other people. So there are options for that as well. Yoga is a great way for kids to get some exercise on their own. There are so many things on the computer or on TV that they could follow, and it can be it could be yoga, it could be doing the Wii games. There's so many physical things now that are on computers. So if your child is very attached to the computer, this is an opportunity for them to be on the computer, but they can do something that's physical, you know, as well at the same time. You could do it with your child to make it more interesting. You could invite a friend over to do it with them. This could be something they do with their siblings. These kinds of, you know, exercise programs on TV or on the computer. There's also something fun called Fitness Dice. You can look that up, and it's a die where you roll the die and it tells you do three push-ups, do, you know, four jumping jacks. So that's incorporating some kind of a fun game with exercise. So that's kind of cool as well. And that could be done in the home. Again, you know, thinking about kids who don't want to interact with other kids, that's something that they can do by themselves. If you're just throwing, if you don't want to exercise with them, you can throw the dice. And those are just a couple of, you know, options. A lot of kids like water parks. That's something else that is physical because you have to climb up, you know, you have to, I guess, think out of the box a little bit about what is exercise. As you said, Iris, it's moving your body. So even if it's something that doesn't seem like exercise, getting to the fun part might be the exercise, like going up a bunch of stairs to get there, or let's count how many stairs there are in, you know, our apartment building. Let's go to the top floor and count how many there are for a child who likes to count. And they're actually walking up the steps, getting their exercise as they're counting. So again, thinking out of the box to get your child moving.
Yes, I think that a lot of the attention to childhood playtime is focused on doing activities in groups and in parallel or in combination with other children, which mm-hmm. can be a real hurdle for some of our children to participate. So finding those ways to do the exercise at home with a family member or with just the child with themselves in front of the computer. During the pandemic, I have to admit that I myself has attempted the Just Dance on my kids' exercise, whatever it was. It was humiliating, and yet I survived and lived to tell the tale. So just saying. But I want to talk a little bit about those kids that really are unable to move or mostly unable to move. And I want to like go to maybe the extreme, and that is someone who's quadriplegic. And many times we don't think about our bodies as being connected to our faces. But both you, Alma, and I know, for example, the Paola method, that activating the muscles on our face and neck can really cause a chain reaction all over our body. And if people here are not familiar with Paola method, I really, really recommend learning that and exercising those little exercises with your children, with opening and closing your eyes and mouth, and learning how, by using passively movement in their palms of their hands, you can cause those chain reactions all over their body. We need to remember that all of our senses and our system as human beings are meant to be in movement. We cannot sense anything without movement. You know, the sound waves, the feeling on our skin, we can't, if you didn't have the movement, you couldn't feel anything, right? So it's just, it's a necessity for us to have that, to not only activate the systems of our body, but also to help support brain development. And I want to give an example, if I can.
Yeah,
please. When Karen, my daughter, just received at 5 years old her first power wheelchair, she started driving about, and she could drive with her head because the only area that she can control well is her neck and her eyes. So she has this infrared head array that she can press on move on, and then it detects which direction she wants to go. So one of the things that she did was she drove smack into a bush. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, why did she do that? And after, like, in retrospect, what was going on is that she never interacted, you know, with the bush. She didn't know if it's like, how does it feel if it's like, you know, three-dimensional or what. It's just like the things that we take for granted. For her, it was maybe like a piece of foam, you know, that she would drive her power wheelchair into that. It was just very interesting to understand that some things, sensations and perceptions that we take for granted, our kids with more complex disabilities don't get to experience the world in the same way that we do. And this is why exercising is important. It helps develop those kind of senses of perception, depth, and those might be skills that are later needed for other functions. But without moving our children and helping them move in the environment, we're kind of preventing them from those, you know, little experiences that we all take for granted.
Well, that's really fascinating. I would never have thought of that about that, but it makes sense. If you don't have any experience or, you know, interaction with a bush, as you said, that's really interesting. Just by visually seeing it, it's not enough. You need to be able to interact with it. Very interesting. So there are lots of different ways to get your child moving. And we can even stretching is a great way. We can stretch our kids, and that's a form of movement or exercise. Yin yoga is something that I'm a big fan of because I am quite lazy when it comes to exercise. I actually don't enjoy much exercise, but I do it sometimes. But yin yoga is something that I really enjoy because it is basically staying in a pose that's a little bit strenuous, not too bad, but you have to stretch into this pose and you stay in the pose and ease into it for like 5 minutes or 3 minutes. So it feels really good because you're stretching and stretching in this pose and it's meditative. So it really calms you as well. So it's a really nice thing to try with kids. And my son has been doing yoga. He's 19 and a half now. He's been doing it since he was 5 years old. And again, with a little group of his friends who did this yoga class for kids with, it actually was for just children in general, but children with disabilities were able to be a part of it. And it grew to, you know, the kids were so interested in it that they just kept doing it for their entire lives. And my son is actually really, you know, decent at yoga at this point. And, you know, he doesn't do all the poses fully correctly, but he feels very proud of himself that he knows the names of the poses. He can do the poses. Again, not necessarily perfectly, but he can do them and he shows other people how to do it. So there's some pride also in accomplishing some of these tasks. So there are all these benefits to these different kinds of exercise, different ways you can exercise. But the main thing is, I think what you mentioned, Iris, it's just moving your body. It doesn't, you know, we have to get out of this, you know, idea that exercise, you have to be in pain, no gain, you know, work it till you, you know, your muscles are completely exhausted. It doesn't have to be that severe. It can just be moving your body and feeling good in your body.
Right. And I like to maybe stretch is a good word here, but the concept of it in terms of respecting our children's bodies and ability, we need to at every single day meet them exactly where they are. And if we're helping them, I remember when my daughter started with PT and OT and things like that, they would be like, oh, you have to stretch for 10 seconds. But 10 seconds might be too much, you know, and beyond the threshold of pain or comfort for your child. So always really take the cues from your child and do whatever it is that they enjoy, that they feel comfortable with. Because for many of the children, especially the ones that are really with more complex kind of physical needs, they almost lose like the relationship between themselves and their bodies. Their body turns into a source of constant pain, an object for other people to move and take initiative over rather than the child developing their own sense of control over themselves and their bodies. So with that being said, I think that for many children, obviously the possibility of exercising independently does not exist. And then we need to create some sort of mechanism in which it's almost like you're a puppeteer and your child is almost like a marionette that you're playing with. Mm-hmm. And to do that very delicate dance with a child that cannot move for themselves is almost like an art form. But I always invite parents to experiment with that, put some nice music in the background and see how you can help your child when they're younger move. And maybe for my daughter, for example, just bringing her extremities to midline, you know, something that weak old babies can do with great success was a real challenge and still is a real challenge. So just like bringing the extremities to the center was by itself, you know, a huge goal for us. So find what it is that your child might be kind of enjoying in achieving. Like, and it can be just moving two extremities at the same time in synchronization or not in synchronization. Mm-hmm. Those little moments can be extremely joyous in which your child kind of discovers their body. And I hope that, you know, for the younger children, one parent can do it on their own. When we're dealing with adults or older children, right now, my daughter is 16. For some of those activities, we almost need two adults in the room kind of moving in sync to help her move. Nevertheless, it's doable. And if you can make it fun, it becomes fun and it becomes something to anticipate and look forward to. And I recommend.
Yeah. And it could also be something as simple and as fun as a dance party. And if you're only moving your eyes, great. If you're, you know, someone is moving your arms back and forth, but put some music on and have a dance party every day, you know, right after dinner, right before dinner, right before, you know, a little bit before bed. So they're not hyped up at bedtime, but before bed. And it's also a good way to get your yayas out for kids who have a lot of energy. You know, who can create the craziest dance, you know, whatever it is, the fastest dance, make it fun. That's the key thing, so that people aren't, you know, seeing it as a chore.
Right. And one more thing that I have to add in is the magic that is water. And I think for our family, specifically with our child, there was no environment in which movement was possible, like being in the water. And we discovered it fairly early on, before my daughter was even 2 years old, that it's almost like a whole different pattern of movement when the buoyancy of water came to her rescue. Gravity wasn't an environment she could, like, you know, operate in, but the buoyancy of water released her of some of the kind of abnormal movement that come with cerebral palsy, and allowed some, if the water was warm, some relief of that muscle spasticity that is so, I guess, common for children with cerebral palsy. So right now, as some of you may know, we have a therapy pool in our house, but that took 15 years to arrive at this point, and it's not always feasible for other families. What we have done before was a few approaches. A, we would use public pools to the best ability that we could. We also wrote letters to hotels in our area, no matter when we were living in Canada or the US, we would write to the nearby hotels that had indoor swimming pools that were well heated, explaining our child's situation and requesting that if they have off hours that are not very full in the pool, that we can maybe either pay them to use the pool or just visit as a, I guess, act of goodwill. And we did get a few hotels to just allow us to come and use their pool at our, you know, desire, which was really, really helpful.
And that's thinking out of the box. Is thinking out of the box. I love that.
In Calgary, Alberta, you cannot swim unless you go to a well-heated pool, you know.
Right.
And,
right.
And hotels used to, like, have those nicely warmed up pools. Mm-hmm. I believe that being in a pool can also cause some challenges in our situation. The echo effect, you know, of sound in a pool with you know, other children kind of laughing and screaming, that was sometimes too much. So we had to kind of have a dedicated noise canceling headset just for the pool environment, so we really capitalize on the benefit of the hot water and not deteriorate her situation because of the sudden noises that completely freaked her out. So mm-hmm. for each family, you'll have to kind of discover what it is that makes the change for you. But I think if you ask me 16 years into it, I would give up all the other therapies that we had going on and all the money we spent on so many different, forms of physical therapy or physical activity in favor of just having that full quality time every day.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, and you know, if you've learned that that's something you should put all your eggs in one basket for, you know, that's unfortunately you didn't realize that earlier, but that's great advice for people who are looking to have their kids be active in a fun way. Good info. I love the hotel idea. I think that's brilliant, because it's no problem for them as long as, you know, there's an adult in there. All right. Well, that's all I have to say on this topic for right now. How about you, Iris? Anything else?
As always, we can expand in any of those topics and kind of do more episodes on things in and around the topics we covered today. So as we have done before, our email address is info@twomomsnofluff. If you guys have any questions about hydrotherapy or spending time in the water with your kids, or about bringing a program to your town, write to us. We'll be happy to support you in your efforts to exercise with your child. And I wish everybody a healthy, I guess, childhood, adulthood, wherever your child is right now. And thank you for listening in.
Thank you. And it's been a pleasure. Can I add one more thing?
Of course.
Hippotherapy that just came to mind. Being on a horse, if possible, great for kids' core, and they do not see it as exercise. It's just pure fun.
Yeah.
And on that note, have a great week. It's been a pleasure, Iris, as always, and we'll see you soon.
For more information, please go to www.twomomsnofluff.com. Thank you.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give it a 5-star rating so more people can hear it. Thank you.